Charging what you're worth or knowing how to handle money in your business can be something that's really challenging for a lot of photographers. In fact, most of us say because we're creative souls, we're not good at math. Well, the fact of the matter is that many times we're not good at math because we just haven't learned how to run our numbers and how to know what we need to be looking for when it comes to running our business successfully. Today on the podcast, I'm sitting down with branding photographer extraordinaire Meg McMillan, and she has some really great tips on how to know your numbers, and also if you struggle with knowing how to get started and feeling comfortable in knowing your numbers in your business, and also just handling money mindset blocks, you're going to want to listen to this podcast. I enjoyed this podcast for so many different reasons, and I know that you will too. So before we get started, here's a word from our very fabulous sponsor, Enphoto, and then let's dive into the conversation with Meg, all about your money mindset. Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your stunning images justice? Now, trust me, I have ordered samples from almost every lab, literally every lab. I have a stack of them, probably 50 albums high in my storage room, and I love Enphoto's albums. I have seen them all. You need to look no further than Enphoto's range of beautifully handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are the perfect way to showcase your photos in a way that truly, truly makes you look like an awesome photographer. And the best part, as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount on your first sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit focalpointspodcast.com and start showing your work off in a beautiful, beautiful way. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. All right, well, you heard from the introduction. I'm here with Meg McMillan today, and I'm really excited. I've known Meg for a while, and I've also been a student of hers in some of her courses, and I find her content very, very, very informational and applicable to today's photographer, especially someone who's focusing on branding photography. And when I changed my niche from newborn photography into branding photography, I was searching on YouTube and I came across Meg. And so Meg, I took her courses and everything. And when we were planning for guests for this next season of the podcast, I'm like, I want to talk to Meg. So you're here kind of as a little selfish gift to myself, which is awesome. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Dori. I've loved having you in my courses and just like seeing your journey, your pivot.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But we're going to start this podcast with a few questions for you, just so we can get to know you a little bit better before we go through the traditional, like, tell us your story, all that kind of stuff. So who would you most like to sit next to on a 10-hour flight and why?
Oh, gosh.
Of course, I started with a hard one. That's a hard one, right?
You know what? Beyonce or maybe Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
I love powerful women who are also moms in business. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, this is the season of life I'm in. I'm a mom in business. Yeah. I have two boys under 3 years old and it's a big part of my life. So I love to just, I would love to pick. Yeah. I'm going to go with Kris Jenner. I recently watched her masterclass on personal branding and I was like, whoa.
Is it good?
I mean, she's built multiple million-dollar brands and she's the she's the manager, the brains behind it. So yeah, she's a girl knows what she's talking about.
I think that would be really, really interested to sit next to her. I don't know if I could afford a seat next to her because she's definitely in like a higher tax bracket than I am. But it would be really interesting to have a private conversation with her about this, especially from the mom side. Like the business side, you know, she's very savvy. You know, she's built multiple millions of dollars and created all this business for her family. But just from the mom side, how you manage that and the stuff that you don't see on camera if you happen to watch that show would be really, really interesting. Okay, so your next question is, what weird food combinations do you really enjoy? And you had a baby a year ago. So I was thinking like maybe this could be something. I don't know if you had any weird pregnancy things or anything like that.
I just like since being pregnant, I crave pickles, hot dogs, you know, that is really a thing. When you're pregnant, you start to crave weird things. And I do have moments where I'm like, I need a hot dog. Like that started when I was pregnant.
Okay. Now, does he like hot dogs?
Yeah. Okay. We all like hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like a weird combination. I was like joking with my husband too, because my mom growing up, like I like look at it now and I'm like, ew, mom, but she would make us like peanut butter and butter sandwiches growing up.
All right, whole bunch of greasy stuff on bread.
I'm like, I know. I'm like, Ma, and I look at it now because I remember eating these and like, yum, peanut butter and butter sandwiches. And now as a mom, I'm like, I am not making that for my kids.
Now, where's your mom from?
Washington.
Yeah, okay, so she was from Washington State. I know, that's where you grew
that's
up.
That's where I grew up.
Right. So that's interesting. I wonder if that's kind of a regional thing or a cultural thing based on family traditions. And that would be no interesting idea. To know. But yeah, I probably won't.
There's a weird one for you.
Yeah, I won't be putting that on the menu at all, for sure. For sure, for sure. Okay. Well, enough with the silly question. So Meg is here and I specifically asked her to come talk to us because we're going to be talking about money mindset, business, photography, all those types of great things. But before we get into the topic at hand, Meg, why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into photography and where you are now with your business?
Yeah, so I've now been a full-time photographer for 6 years. Four of those 6 years, I've hit six figures in my business. and now like with my coaching and education side of my business, like I have a multiple six-figure business, which I'm really proud to say I created as a mom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know this is not an easy journey. And I'm grateful that I had started my business before becoming a mom. And I had those foundations and I had some systems going already. And I'd been working on my money mindset, which I know we'll talk about because, you know, all that helped me like create the foundation to have some stability before becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. But like, how I got into photography is actually living abroad, teaching English in Taiwan.
Oh, interesting.
With my now husband.
Yeah.
So I convinced him about 6 months into dating to like just leave San Diego and go move to Taiwan to teach English because I really wanted to travel.
He loved you.
He definitely did because as a like banker, a Capricorn, he's just like a stable, steady guy. Like he wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for me. Like I definitely kind of like nudged him. So of course the natural was like, ooh, let me buy a camera as I travel and start like a travel blog or just take photos. Like I'd always loved taking photos. I never thought it like could turn into a career. I never thought that was like a real career people could have. Right.
Yeah.
Just from the programming of society and what I thought,
it's like it's a cute side hobby. It's something cute. It's something cute on the side. Yeah,
totally. It's like, that's what I also had that mindset back then. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I start learning from all these like YouTubers, and I'm like, oh, you can like have a real business as a photographer. Interesting. And I got really into the business side and studying that because I had tried to have a business before as a personal trainer. I'd been in the fitness industry before that and it didn't work. It did fail. Okay. I couldn't make it work because I didn't have like brand business savvy. So this time I really like put a lot of energy into learning that and establishing that early on. So we came back from Taiwan and I said, I'm going to start a photography business. And I did. And I just went all in heart first. I did everything in the beginning, like weddings, newborns. I did memorial funeral services. Oh, yeah. Like I captured all of it. And then one day my best friend wanted me to do a brand shoot for her business. Mm-hmm. I did it. And I loved it. Yeah. I fell in love. Yeah. And after that, it was like, this is what I'm doing with photography, personal brand photography. Like this is my zone of genius.
That's great. And you know, your journey is obviously not uncommon than so many people. We pick up a camera, we love it. No matter what got you to the point of picking up a camera, many of us start shooting everything. Like whatever they call you, you show up with your camera and you're going to shoot it. And you usually do it for, you work yourself too hard. You're investing so much and you're never, ever usually charging enough. Like that is just like, that doesn't happen. Like, you know, you do sessions for your friends for not even a couple $100s just because you love it so much. But then you realize, wait a minute, I need to make this sustainable because if I continue with the path that I'm on, I'm either going to burn out, my family's going to fail, or I'm just not going to like it anymore. So I need to be paid well for what I do. And that's something that so many photographers struggle with. Why do you think specifically the photography industry is so notorious for undercharging for our services?
Yes, this is so great. I'm so happy you're touching on this because it's like, It's common. Like, it's very common in our industry. We really undervalue ourselves and our industry, and we lack confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a money block.
Yep.
That lack of, like, valuing yourself and having confidence in your craft. And it's like, I think, to answer your question, like, we get into this industry and there's very low entry mm-hmm. to becoming a photographer. Like, once you buy a camera, you're a photographer.
Right.
Like, that's right. It. And it's great because you can get started. You can build a business for, like, very little money. You can start making money right away. You can start charging because, especially in our world today, with, like, the explosion of, like, online marketing mm-hmm. and, like, personal branding that everybody has to have for their business. And mm-hmm. like there's so much opportunity today. There's always going to be this need for photographers. And, like, so it's like we get started easy and then we're like, ooh, this is great. Like, I'm making $200 a photo shoot. I just made $200 to to take photos and do what I love, but we're not factoring in all the time that also goes into running the business, the marketing. We're not factoring in tax at that point. Like, I think it's making that shift. We have to start to make that, like, mindset shift that, like, this is a business. I'm a CEO. Mm-hmm. This isn't just like, it's like, I'm not making $200 2-hour photo shoot. What I'm really making is $200 for that 2 hours, the 8 hours I spent, like, at networking events and on Instagram, plus the editing time, plus the emails, plus the drive time, plus the cost of business insurance, plus tax,
the computer, like, everything. There's so much to factor in. And that's so common that, like, photographers just don't see that. Like, we don't see the fact that, like, a surgeon has $400,000 of student loan bills that they need to pay off. So they need to be paid that amount. But, you know, many times what I found to be super common, and I know that you'll agree with this, is the fact that we're gifted our first camera, or we get it in a way that, like, we don't look, it's a personal item, not a business item. Like, I really need to upgrade my camera right now and get into the mirrorless world. And I've talked about this on other podcasts. And in fact, I just had Angie McPherson on the podcast, and I think her episode aired before this one. And we were talking about her upgrade from DSLR into the mirrorless world and how she wished she'd made that jump so much sooner. I'm like, okay, I know I got to do it. But it's a business expense now. It's not something that I'd use for fun anymore. And so when you start shifting your mindset to all these things that you are using personally for fun, quote unquote, into now they become business expenses, you need to start charging enough in your business to pay for that. Plus also pay for the amount of time you're away from your family, maybe for retirement, maybe for family vacations, like all the, you know, if you have to pay for support, health insurance, and those types of things, all the things that normal office workers or regular people get paid for, we have to bring in all that income so that we can support ourselves. And making that shift is hard.
It's just that mindset shift mm-hmm. of and knowing your numbers is important. We can talk about that later, but mm-hmm. it's definitely it feels like sometimes there's like this plague in the photography industry. And that might be like pretty intense to say, but it's like, it starts with us as the photographers. Yes. We have to value ourselves and we have to have confidence in our own work to really like shift the mindset of like what a photographer does in the industry as a whole and really like bring up the industry as a whole for all of us so we mm-hmm. can make an abundant, great living doing what we love. Mm-hmm. There's so many photographers who never do make it full time, who never do like make a great living and provide well for their families because they're not charging enough. So this is a big deal. Like we really have to like work together on this and like help each other of like, look, like help each other see our own value. Sometimes it takes other people like, and just like listening to podcasts like this, but also just like reminding ourselves like how valuable we are. I actually like one thing I want to encourage your audience to do is on this is like have an evidence list. So like and you can call it your evidence list. You can call it your like, why should they book me list? Why you should book me? Why I charge this price list? Like whatever you call it, it's like start to write down all the like ways that you are so valuable as a photographer beyond just like giving them the images. Like I know for like some of my clients, like they've told me like, because of your photos, like my business took off and I was able to like go full time doing this work that I love. Like, mm-hmm. that's amazing when somebody's able to shift from like out of an industry maybe they didn't love, a 9-to-5 that they were just like going to an autopilot, it was sucking their soul, like, yep. to actually like do what they love, because like your photos gave them confidence to do that. There's no price tag on that. Like, what is that worth? And we forget, like, that's part of what we do. We give them confidence. We give them these like heirloom photos of their family. It's just like, you can't even put a price tag on what we do. It's hard.
And it's really hard. I mean, yeah. society tries to put a price tag on what we do, but we can't. And so yeah. I love your evidence list and the fact that if you can do something like this that doesn't involve anything like taking the pictures, it's not about taking the pictures. It's about making people feel good. It's giving people an outlet yeah. where they can make more money. It's about preserving those memories for generations to come. All those things that people can't put a price tag on are the things that are going to make you more valuable to your clients who value those same things. And it's going to be different from photographer to photographer. So like for me, one of the things that I sell, it's a selling point for me when I'm dealing with prospects, is the fact that I work out of Washington, D.C. So a lot of my business is very traditional headshots. Like, those are the people, like, I'm dealing with people who, you know, process taxes and like really traditional stuff. So it's the traditional headshot, white background, gray background, whatever it is. And I love those sessions. I would do 20 of those a week if I could. But the people who hire me are the women who are feeling a little bit older, the women who don't feel great anymore, the women who mm-hmm. feel like society is telling them that they're not attractive anymore. And it's the people who want to save a lot of time. It's also the busy executives who are like, I'm crossing this off because I have to. It's not because I want to. And so the way that I talk about my business is not about, they don't necessarily care about the money. It's like, how can I get this done quickest, most efficiently with an image that I can use and cross it off the list? So because I know my client that well, that's how I talk to them. And that's who I attract. Yeah, and I love it.
I love that you said, like, it's not about the money for them. It's like, we put our own negative money beliefs. Mm-hmm. We project those onto clients.
Yes.
And this is something I tell photographers, like, stay out of your customers' wallets. Like, mm-hmm. don't make assumptions about what they can and can't afford. That's your own like money beliefs projecting onto. It's like if you have something like a solution for their problem, like, sell it to them. And because this is another big block two is like, I see photographers say all the time, I hate selling.
I'm not good at selling.
I don't want to be salesy. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Like, and here's the thing, like, if you're not out there selling, like, you're doing your customers a huge mm-hmm. disservice. Cause think of that woman you described who's not feeling confident. I just served a woman who is 61 and she's starting her business at 61.
I love it.
She had never done a brand photo shoot for herself. She had never celebrated herself in this way. She was nervous. This was a huge step for her, like, just like making this investment in herself. And it wasn't about the money. Like, it's not about the money. She wanted to feel like she was going to be okay on camera. Like, mm-hmm. she was going to have someone to guide her. Right. And you better believe, like, I sold unapologetically to her. Right. And I sold her hair and makeup. I sold her a location that would look gorgeous, mm-hmm. like, in the photos for her, that I knew that would look amazing on her website. I knew it would really highlight and help her stand out in terms of, like, yeah, like,
just whatever she does.
Her soulmate. What?
Right. It's not about selling. And I think that's the thing. Like, you weren't selling her. You were helping her. You were advising her on, you knew what the ultimate goal was for her, which I think is really key. Yeah. When you know what the ultimate goal is for your clients and you find that out ahead of time, and then you have an easy to navigate pathway to get them there, they want it. It's not selling. Yeah. They literally want it. Like, when I have someone, I'm like, okay, well, here's who you call for your hair and makeup. Great. Checked off the list. Here's a stylist you can call. Great. Check that off the list. And it makes their life easy. You're not selling. And the thing is that you deserve to be compensated for that expertise and that time, because you've invested in yourself so that you can do it very easily. It's just like a doctor's office, a visit's 10 minutes. Well, it didn't take him 10 minutes to learn what that doctor needs to tell you. You're paying for all the experience that he has and the education that he has. And we're not doctors. I'm not putting us in the same category at all as doctors, but it is kind of the same thing. And that expertise and that experience is valuable. And people want that efficiency and that convenience. They don't want to struggle when it comes to that type of thing. Why do you think photographers have really such a hard time charging what we would consider profitable rates in their business?
I think like they don't invest time to do like the money mindset work. Mm-hmm. They just like come up with a number, or they're price comparing, or they're like asking, they crowdsource their pricing. Mm-hmm. I'm calling people out because I see it in Facebook groups all the time.
We all
in
see
photographer
it.
Facebook groups.
Yeah, we all see it.
And like, it's like building confidence starts with you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start with any kind of pricing strategy. It's not about that. It's about like you really understanding and owning your value first and what you offer, mm-hmm. and taking time to like invest in that. Like for the photographers who are listening to this, who like get out their journal or get out their iPhone, go to their notes, and they start that evidence list, like that's going to actually be really transformative for them when they're spending time like in the mindset of like, here's all the evidence, here's why I'm so amazing, right. Like and not spending time on like the negative money beliefs and other people's mm-hmm. like stories, you know. Yeah. We have to really take time to like just investigate, like, why am I uncomfortable to charge this price, right. Like what's going on there, like underneath the surface.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part of being an entrepreneur, is the fact that we all can click a camera, we can take beautiful pictures, we can make our clients feel great. But the fact of the matter is when it comes down to charging what we need to charge and getting over these hurdles, these, you know, the limiting beliefs. And I know some people, you know, when you start talking about mindset and limiting beliefs and you use those terms, they turn off because that's not how they're programmed, because, oh, that's just too woo, that's just whatever. I am very not woo. You are a little bit more, you're a lot more woo than I am. And woo
it's not woo, it's science.
But there's science behind it.
And well, they've proven it. Right. By the age of 7, your whole subconscious mind is formed.
It's totally
and so, like,
proven.
As much as you want to say like, and like, however you grew up, as much as you want to say like, oh, like this experience and this person's like mindset or this like experience from my childhood, like, that didn't make me who I am today. Like that didn't, like I overcame that, and that's great. And also like these beliefs we learn 0 to 7 are still within your subconscious mind. You're still taking action from that belief, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you're aware of it or not. And the way to start to become like more aware of it is like just starting to like do these money mindset practices, starting to investigate, starting to like dig into like your money story and like your own money beliefs and like where they come from, who said it, like what is the evidence, like
where did
how
that
has
come
it served
from?
You like a lot of it, like it serves us. Like I'll give you an example, like my mom as a single mom for 12 years, raising us as a single mom the first 12 years, she worked two jobs and she worked like, and I saw her really hustling for us. So we had a very comfortable, like middle-class life. I had a great childhood thanks to my mom.
Yeah.
But the story that I, took away from that and the belief that I created watching her is that I have to work really hard for money.
Right.
I have to work really, really hard. I can have a great life, but I have to burn myself out and work really hard for it. And that's not my mom's fault. I formed that belief. I formed that conclusion from watching
her.
Hard
meant long hours.
Like, hard meant like long hours. Long, it meant like pulling, it meant stressing. Mm-hmm. It meant that work has to be chaotic and stressful. Mm-hmm. It meant that money is stressful. Mm-hmm. And these are all just like conclusions I formed from watching from my childhood. Right. And I wasn't even aware of all this. Like I had to really like start to unpack and dig into like why do I keep getting in this cycle of debt? Why can't I break through this same like income level? Why am I always stuck like at this price point and it feels like I can't charge more than that? That's not anything to do with the clients. There's always people out there that are willing to pay your prices. There's always people out there who that is an energetic aligned match for that price. It's just, are you? Are you an energetic match for that price? That's the work. It's like we get to step into becoming the energetic match where we are so confident at like this price, we like have to sell it. It's like finding that sweet spot, that price that you're just like, I have to sell this. Like, I can't wait to sell this because this is serving. Like, I have to find the woman.
It's worth it.
Perfect for this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's work. It's like, I didn't get there overnight. Like, I want your listeners to know, Dori, like my first photo shoot, I charged $200 for.
-$300.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not sustainable. Now we know, like being in the business years, you realize, oh, there was no way that was going to be sustainable because I did hit burnout like a couple years into the business. Like I hit six figures, but was I like enjoying it? Was I actually like happy? You know, like I love my work, but I was burning out. Like I was literally physically, I had made my body sick and I had gut issues, which is just a manifestation of other things that were going on. And so I like had to start to like dig into money mindset more and more mindset and like more of like, stepping into my own leadership and taking like doing that work to become my own leader and like figure out like why, what is holding me back from charging more?
Right. Yeah. It's so much internal work, and we are the roadblocks in our own business. And I know people hear that all the time and it can become to be cliche, but I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Mountain Is You. And I forget the author's name off the top of my
head. I've heard of it.
It's Barbara somebody, and I will put this in the show notes, but it's such a great book that I read it often, all the time. Like it's something that is kind of on repeat for me.
And I would love to read
that. I'm walking and doing all that stuff. It's Brianna Wiest. It's The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest. And she really breaks down the idea of how we create these roadblocks in ourselves that keep us from getting what we want. Because ultimately, every decision in your business is yours and you can do whatever you want. So by understanding how all this works is very, it's just going to lead you to more success. So I want to touch on one other quick thing before we wrap this up today, because I could keep you all day, but I'm not going to do that to you. What do you think are some of the detrimental things that can happen to a photographer in their business if they don't take time to really know their numbers? There's a lot of things that I know, but I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
Yeah. So knowing your numbers is like so empowering. And when you don't know your numbers, that's a money block. That's like a big thing that's stopping you from reaching that next level. And we've all heard this, that like, if you can't manage $1,000, you can't manage 10,000. You can't manage 100,000. You can't manage 1,000,000. It's not going to get easier when you make more money. And I know like I used to have that mindset of like, well, I don't have time right now. I don't have time to look at my numbers, to create a money management like system and to look at spreadsheets. But if it's like, that's like really holding you back from like breaking through your income ceiling to that next level when you don't know your numbers, because then you don't trust yourself and then you don't have that clarity of how to move forward and that like solid foundational ground of where to make decisions from. Right. So what client to say yes to, what client to say no to. Like when you don't know your numbers, you say yes to everything. Right. When you don't know your numbers, you're willing to compromise really fast and lower your price and lower your value. And then you're not doing work you love.
Right.
Maybe this will show up as burnout. You have to take 10, 15 clients a month to make like ends meet and to pay yourself. And that's not sustainable. And so then like what can happen is like that burnout cycle and like you just start to resent the business or you just start to have this like negative energy and mindset as you come to work. And that will like your clients will pick up on that.
Yeah.
And like, it's just not good. It's just like a bad cycle. And it literally is like, because you haven't taken time to just get intimate and date your money. And like one thing I encourage everyone
date your money. I love that. You need to date your money.
Like a weekly money date. So take out your phone calendar right now. If you're listening to this, pull the car over just quickly, take a break and like add in your calendar, like my money date. And maybe it's an hour a week on Friday. I like to do Fridays because it's like my freedom Fridays. Because I know that like taking time to create my, I call it my freedom plan. It's not my budget in my business. It's my freedom plan.
Oh, I love that. Because
I know when I'm taking time to like create this plan with my money and really get intimate and know my numbers. And when we say know our numbers, like know our revenue, know like expenses going out, how much are you paying yourself? How much is the business profiting? And getting really clear on that stuff first. How many leads are you getting every month? How many of those leads are you closing? Sometimes people think they're like so bad at sales. And then I'm like, okay, but they're closing like all of their leads.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, so you got 3 leads in this month and you got 3 new clients. That sounds to me like your prices are too cheap.
Yeah.
Because when we're, saying yes, if everybody's saying yes to you, I want like, that's a sign to raise your price.
Right.
Not everybody says yes to me when I get like people in. And I'm at a good, healthy level where like enough people are saying yes, I'm meeting my goal. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
So like I'm feeling good about that. But that's what when we say know your numbers, like those are the numbers.
And I think a lot of times because we are creative beings, so many of us are creative beings, we say, well, I'm not good at numbers. But just like you're not good at sales, you can tell yourself that message over and over and over, or you can stop those messages and say, listen, I may not be great now, but I can learn. And it's just a matter of learning. And the thing about numbers is it, just like you were saying, like, I'm really, I'm not booking anybody, or you can start to tell yourself these stories, but the numbers are the things that tell the truth. And we don't always want to run our business based on the numbers, but the numbers are the only thing that give us the actual measurable proof of what is or is not happening in our business. And we get very emotionally tied up into these numbers, but just, you know, one of my favorite mentors always said, money doesn't have emotions. It is just a unit of exchange. Numbers don't have emotions.
I love that.
So if you're putting and you're feeling a certain way or things are coming up when you're doing these number exercises, that's something you need to look at. It's just like, I know there's certain things my husband say that trigger me that really just make the, like, I can go from perfectly fine to like irate in a second because he knows those buttons to push.
But that's good that you know your triggers,
right?
Though.
That's part my of trigger. Awareness. And that's my issue. That's a me issue. I need to know. So if I'm hesitant to go through my numbers, if I'm not wanting to do these exercises, what is it about that in me that is not wanting to know the truth? Is it most of the time? It's always fear.
And you know what I've learned, Dory, is like, I get the exact same thing. And I want you to know, like, I still do that. I still get triggered. I still resist it. So that's why, like, I like the money day because, like, I try to make it fun. So something that helps is, like, maybe I'll invest, like, $30 to go to a nice hotel for that hour for lunch, and I'll order a glass of wine and a nice, like, lunch, and I'll sit down, and that's when I'll look at my numbers and do the things and project the income or whatever I'm focused on that day. It makes it a little more enjoyable and fun to me and something I look forward to. So that's been really helpful in terms of, like, making it more of a habit.
Yeah.
And I still get triggered, but what happens is, like, once we know the numbers, there is no good or bad. I love that you said, like, it's neutral, but, like, once we know the numbers, then we're like, oh, like, either it's like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Oh, okay, I have this coming in next month. I forgot about that. Cool. Like, now I feel better about going into next month. Or the opposite is like, oh, yep, I'm dead. And, like, this happened to me recently. I'm like, okay, I'm like only at like probably 30% of my revenue goal halfway through the year. Okay. Well, now that I have that clarity, what that means is like, now I can look forward and say, okay, what's my, cause I'm still going to hit my goal. I already have the mindset of like, even though I'm not halfway there yet and we're halfway through the year, does not mean like I won't hit my goal. It just means like, I need to look ahead and adjust my plan. And like, it just gives us so much power. Like when we know our numbers, we are in control and then we can make decisions of like, okay, like here's what needs to happen for the business, for me to hit my goals. Perfect. But it's when we don't have that clarity that all those stories, we start to like live in the fear and all these stories and we start to create stories of why something's not possible when that's not even true.
It's not true at all. And coming back full circle to where we started this conversation, knowing your numbers can create a sense of confidence in you, and that can reflect everything when it comes to what you're charging and the value that you're bringing to the clients. Once you know and you have the documentation to back it up, or you have the realization of what I'm doing isn't working, I need to make some changes. Both of those things can create confidence, and you can bring that to the table for your clients, and you can put that on your evidence list of like, okay, this is why I need to be doing this, is because this didn't work, but now I made this change, so it will work. So it's a full circle thing of gaining your confidence. The confidence comes with practice and education and acknowledgement of just seeing everything as it is, not through the stories that we tell ourselves that we either want it to be or the limitations that we give ourselves. So I think this
I love that. I agree like 1,000%. The more I like know my numbers and I get in the know and I understand how to use QuickBooks and I know how to reconcile, I feel so confident, and I still outsource it now. But it's like knowing that I know how to do it. It's like, but it's like first, I think, especially as women, I just want to say, if you're a woman in business listening to this, I just think it's so important for us women to like take control of our finances, to like be in the know, to like to have that empowerment of like knowing your numbers and knowing how to do your money if you need to and if you want to.
Yeah, it's something that we shouldn't be leaving to someone else. We really need to do this. Well, I'm going to wrap this up really quick, and I want to thank you so much for your time today, Meg. This has really been great.
This was so fun. I could talk about money all day.
Right? I know. I'm not ashamed to say I love money. Like, I am in business to make money, and I'm in business to help photographers make more money. And that's something that you don't hear a lot of people say. It's like, I am okay making money. I want to make a lot of money, because the more money I make, the more I can give to charity, the more I can do for my family, the more like all the things that I can do with that money is something that is really important to me. Those things are important. And so having an avenue to do that is really important. But I have one super, super last important question to ask you. So your mom, we're going back to your mom now, fed you peanut butter and butter sandwiches growing up, right? So do you prefer crunchy or smooth peanut butter? What was your choice?
I always ate smooth growing up, but I like crunchy.
Smooth, yeah.
I appreciate both.
It's good. Well, I'm kind of a peanut butter connoisseur. So when you said that, I'm like, oh, I've had a few butter and peanut butter sandwiches in my day on white bread. Like the white bread is key, like the mushy Wonder Bread, which is
You know what so I'm into? Cashew butter. Have you had cashew butter?
I haven't tried. I think maybe I've tried it in a few like mixed recipe things, but not on its own. But that's good.
It's bougie. That's my splurge. Wow. Cashew butter.
it's a bougie, you know, Southern California type of hippie thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it so, so much. Well, Meg, how can people find you out on the interwebs and get in contact with you if they want some more of this great information? What is the best way for them to find you?
I love Instagram. I'm at Meg Marie Photo with underscores. So it's Meg_Marie_photo.
Okay.
And they can also go to photographerfreebies.com. I have resources for photographers. Specifically, I have a 22-day money mindset reset course. And so like, if you don't know where to start with this stuff and it feels overwhelming, I created like just short videos. You'll get one a day for 22 days with just like fun money mindset practices that you can dive into. If you don't have it yet, Dory, I'd love to gift it to you.
Yeah. I'll go and sign up on the list, because that's great. And that's so funny that you have photographerfreebies.com, because I was researching domains the other day and that was one that I looked up. So now I know who owns it. That's great. I'm a domain hoarder. I'm like, I get an idea, so they'll go and like, oh yeah, I might.
You never know. There's some
domains. You never know.
Yeah. And like, and by the way, I want to give your audience like a discount on this.
I'll give you that link
if they are curious about the course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a low ticket, $111 course, and I'll give your audience a special price because I want more women doing this money work. I really believe that when money is in the hands of woke women with big hearts, it just like creates a more loving world. So that's the goal. That's why we're in business, is to make money and not be ashamed of that either.
Yeah. I love women who can handle their money and create more money for the world is great. And I used to always say when I was in my other business, the reason that I'm doing this is not because of wanting to make a lot of money, even though I do. It's helping photographers make more money, because I know, especially moms, when moms make more money, kids do better. and families are healthier and kids are more successful in school, and all those things trickle down. And I want our world to be filled with healthy, wonderful children that can create the next things for our next generations. And that's yes. kind of why I do what I do. So that's great.
Beautiful.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take all this great information and all these great links, and we're going to put them up on the show notes page, which is focalpointspodcast.com. And if you're watching or you're listening through Amazon or Apple, you can just scroll down in your show notes right now and you can click those links, or you can go to focalpointspodcast.com and you can hit all those links, and you'll be able to get in touch with Meg. You'll be able to get access to her photographerfreebies.com website and see what resources she has there available for you, which I think everybody should take a look at, because it's such good stuff. And like I said, I've been following Meg for quite a while and have invested in her programs, and they've served me very well. So anyone who is interested in this type of thing, you definitely need to check her out. So
thank you so much, Dory.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for just like doing this work, having like this platform to have these conversations on.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Well, thank you, Enphoto, for helping sponsor this project. And we will see you all next time on the Focal Points Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.